Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin here at the program, and we're just so glad that each and every one of you joined us today. We are a topical devotion, and you know what? We're just bringing you the word. We're bringing you the truth. Hopefully, you're being encouraged. You're being strengthened, and wisdom is being brought to each and every one of you as we declare the truth of God's word. And we speak it, we speak it in love, and Lord, we just are believing for you to bring breakthrough into people's lives today. You know, yesterday we talked a little bit about walking out of, you know, brokenness, and today we're going to talk about walking into power, and I've got a special guest with me today, Bruce Levy. You were here with us yesterday. Welcome back to the program again today, Bruce.
Thanks, good to be back.
Yeah, so glad that you're with us, and you know, you brought the topics. I always love for my co-hosts to bring the topics in. It keeps me on my toes, keeps me fresh in the Word and so forth. But, you know, you wanted to talk today about walking into power. Tell us a little bit about that, and then I'll read a scripture to bring us in. What are you hoping to convey to people today, you know, from yesterday's program to today's?
Well, I think read the scripture, because that's really what I want to convey. I can't do it better than God did.
All right, well, we're reading out of, you know, 2 Peter, and it's going to be chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. So it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Thank you. I always like to let the pastors read. They're good at it, right? They do it all the time, right?
No worries. So, glad to help.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, when I look at this passage, I think of a few things that are so powerful. It says that through knowledge of him, it calls by glory and virtue. It says that he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Wow.
All things. And it says, it doesn't say he's giving. It said he has given to us.
Yeah, when Jesus said it's finished on the cross, he gave us everything we were going to get, I believe.
By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Wow, that's a promise, right?
A promise.
He's promising promises, right?
Yeah.
Right? That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature.
That's so good.
Oh, man, is that the life you want to live?
Right.
Right? Who even having a taste of that kind of life wouldn't want to live it, right? So I think that first thing as Christians, we need to realize that he's given this to us. Already given.
Yeah, it's past
tense. So we
got
to claim it. We just have to claim it.
It's a promise.
It's already
there. We were talking about all the different promises, and there's so many that have been given to us. So come on, tell me about it.
Right. So I want to go into 2 Timothy. A lot of people heard this. It's very common scripture that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, which, by the way, I claim that every morning over myself before I even get out and go out into the world. I claim, one thing I do in the mornings now, I used to make a petition to God. God, give me this, give me that, give me protection, give me this, guidance, blah, 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 through the day. I don't do that. I wrote a list of these promises we're talking about. I went into the Bible.
Yeah.
I picked up promises, and I've got a list of scripture on a piece of legal paper, just promises that I've been given. And I just claim them.
Declare them and claim them.
Yeah, declare them in the morning instead of asking for anything. I declare I already have this, right?
Sure.
So that's my prayer in the morning now, and this is always in my prayer. So I want to go through a few of these things that were brought up in the scripture. First thing is a spirit of power.
Yeah.
And I want to reference Ephesians, the armor of God, because I think that's big time where our
power
comes from, right?
Sure.
Which is really putting on Jesus, right?
Sure.
When you're putting on the armor, you're putting on Jesus, right?
Yep, and everything that he gave us.
Exactly. The most powerful piece, I think, is the sword of the Spirit.
For sure.
Which is the spoken word of Scripture, right? I think the sword that you have to speak that word out loud.
I hear you.
So you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm speaking it. you know, I used to...
picking up on my puns.
Right. You could think the word.
Sure.
But when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus didn't think the word, right?
Yeah, he didn't just think, oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. All right, Satan, I already beat you, whatever. Don't tempt the Lord your God, right?
Right. He spoke
Scripture.
At the problem.
At the problem, which, you know, he could have done a lot. They could have brought down fire on Satan. He could have brought down nuclear bombs and blew him up, whatever he wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
But he used Scripture. I think he did this. He could have beat him a lot of ways, but he used the spoken word Scripture, I think, as a demonstration to us of how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do. So I think speaking that word is very important. Okay, so I think speaking the word is extremely important. Another piece of our armor is the shield of faith. That catches the enemy's fiery arrows, right?
Sure.
So the shield of faith, the shields were made out of wood.
Right.
Most people don't know. It wrapped in animal skin.
Most people think they're like metal, like in the knights and all that. But
right.
No, it was a totally different way of warfare back then.
It was wood. I don't know if did they have metal? Yeah, they had metal because it was a sword, right?
Sure,
It was wood wrapped in animal skin, and the animal skin had to be watered regularly.
Right. It's more like leather.
Yeah, it was like leather. You had to keep it, you know, watered, and you had to keep it from dry rotting. And that watering our shield, I think, is being in the Word, right? Reading the Word, studying the Word, knowing the Word, because that's how our faith grows. Faith by hearing, right?
Yeah.
And hearing by the Word of God. So we have to read the Word, right?
Yep.
Regularly.
Yep. Get it in our hearts.
I've heard a rendition of the armor that said that our shield grows bigger when we know the Word more.
Right.
When we're not in the Word, it gets smaller. Right?
Sure. It's kind of harder to hide behind a small shield.
Right. Well, they had two kinds of shields. They had a small one they used to carry for like
hand-to-hand
parades.
Combat.
No, it was for parades.
Oh, parades?
It was more for show.
Okay, gotcha.
It was more for show. And then they had a huge one that was like a door, like carrying a door around.
They'd lock them together and stuff like that in battle.
I need the door.
Yeah.
Right? I really do. I need the door.
Sure,
this world, we all need the door. The way this world is now, that little shield, there's a lot of arrows flying around, man. We need as much protection as we can.
Well, Jesus said, I am the door. You know, I love that. So we're talking about the armor and it being part of Jesus. He said, I am the door. So that's pretty cool.
So so let's go to a sound mind. A sound mind. The armor for the sound mind is, right, the helmet of salvation, right?
Yes.
So when I think about the helmet of salvation, what I really think is that my eternity is guaranteed, right? That's my salvation. And I think sometimes on this earth we have to think of things in the eternal sense, right?
Sure.
That we think instead of looking at what's happening today. I mean, I think it especially happens when bad things happen in life, like death is going to happen, right?
Sure.
If somebody dies, they were a family, they were a Christian, we know that we're going to see them again in eternity, right? So the helmet of salvation gives us a peace, right?
Yeah.
And assurance, right, of where we're going to end up. So I think it's good to have that. It protects our mind. And sometimes I think it's a fallback. It's a last resort when I'm going through something to say, well, this is only temporary. I don't want to live my life like that because, in a way, I think it's accepting defeat. But sometimes you have to accept acceptance.
Yeah.
You just have to think that this is the way things are right
now.
Yeah,
right. It's not fun, but it's part of the aspects of life.
The breastplate of righteousness.
Yeah.
that's an important piece, right?
Sure. Guards our heart.
Satan's the accuser of the brethren. So Satan is always going to try to tell me I don't measure up. I'm not going to be able to do that. He told me before the show, I had prepared for the show, and he said, oh, right, man, that whole script you got really doesn't look too great, man. It's not too interesting. You're going to bore everybody to death. It's not going to be good, right? He does that.
Yeah.
And you know, I've come to the point now, you know, there were years Satan left me alone because I was doing his work.
Yeah.
So he didn't bother me. But when I started working for God, he bothers me quite a bit. And I kind of laugh now because the worse he bothers me, I know the more meaningful probably what I'm doing
exactly.
is, right?
Yeah, so. I like the breastplate of righteousness because I feel like it guards our heart, you know, and the enemy's always after our heart. He wants us to be bitter. He wants us to get calloused. He wants us to, you know, continually be discouraged. And, you know, the word of God, which he said is the sword, you know, it comes in, you know, we hear it, and then it goes into our minds. But, you know, the goal is not to just have a knowledge of the word, but it's to have the word drop down into our hearts. And when we walk in power, we have the word of God secure in our hearts. We're sitting in a position where the word of God is in our hearts. So that breastplate of righteousness and knowing who we are in Christ, that Jesus is the word made flesh, and that he is a part of our life. I think that is what guards our heart, is knowing that we are in him and in Christ in our life. I think it's powerful.
Yeah. And, you don't get to, we read about partakers of the divine nature. That doesn't come through your mind.
No, it
doesn't.
That
comes through your heart.
That does, absolutely. So good. That's such a good scripture.
Yeah, and then the last, and this is, we could do 10 shows on love, right?
So, sure.
But he has given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I just want to talk about love for a minute, because we can't not talk about it. And Jesus' ministry was love.
Absolutely.
If you break it all down, it always breaks down to love.
Sure.
Any scripture, anything he ever did, anything about his walk always comes back to love. And, you know, I was looking at an interview the other day from Charles Stanley, who just passed away a few days ago.
Yeah, right? I heard about that.
And, you know, Charles was always kind of a straightforward guy. I've never seen Charles be super warm and fuzzy kind of guy.
Right.
But he was in this interview. He actually cried, actually shed tears a couple of times,
wow.
Right?
Okay.
This interview was quite a few years ago, actually. But, you know, Charles was talking about, he said, look, I was out preaching and, you know, something wasn't right. I had this depression and I wasn't feeling right. And I called four of my accountability partners, which made me really, he used those words.
Yeah, accountability partners.
Made me feel
partners,
really good because
yeah.
we all need that. We talked about that in the last show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just dumped my life on the table and just, he said, I was trying to come up with stuff to repent for. I couldn't even come up with anything. You know, he said, I'm making up stuff. I don't know why I feel like I feel, and I'm just going to give you guys my whole life, right? And his father died when he was 9 months old, so he never knew his dad, right?
Right.
So this is one of the things he brought up to these four people who spent many, many, many hours with him, hearing everything he could dump out. When he came up with that, one of his friends told him, he said, Charles, stop. I want you to close your eyes. Put your hand on the table. And he said, your father just walked in the room and picked you up and gave you a big hug and put you in his lap. What do you feel? And Charles was like, he said, I just started sobbing and crying. He said, I just cried and just wept and couldn't stop. And he said, you know, before that moment, I had led four churches. I preached all over the country. And I believed in God. I trusted God. But I never emotionally felt God's love. And, I think that's so important for us to just let God love us. You know, I get busy sometimes trying to be good or be what God wants me to be, and I believe God wants me to do that.
Sure.
But my identity doesn't come from that. It really comes from his love for me.
Yeah, and having a relationship one-on-one with him. Yep.
My righteousness righteousness that Jesus gave me comes from love.
Yeah. It's a gift. You know, love gives. It doesn't demand anything in return, you know, or heading into Corinthians, it doesn't seek its own. It doesn't, you know, look after, you know, the other, you know, it never fails. Love is a constant state of God in our lives, you know, because God is love. That's what the Bible teaches us. So, you know, you can't, I always say this, Bruce, you can't love somebody in your own strength. You know, if God is love, you cannot truly love somebody unless you go to God and get love for that person and then love them through God because he is love. Now, you can like someone, you can lust someone, but you can't truly love someone without God being in the equation because God is love. So if I'm going to have a relationship with you and I'm going to love, you know, you as a friend, then I still have to go to God first and get that love. And then we can love each other as friends. Or if I'm going to have my wife and I'm going to love my wife, then I have to love her through God first. Otherwise, I'm really just, it's all carnal and there's no real you know, strength in it. And I think what we're talking about is how to walk in power here. You want to walk in power, walk in love.
Yeah. 1 John 19. We love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you just described. You just described, just paraphrase that whole scripture, you know?
Yeah. It's so good.
You know, and you also referenced 1 Corinthians 13, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, you know, that if I speak in tongues and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and I have all the faith, I could move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. So there's so many people that are out trying to be impressive on YouTube and bringing up items to talk about, and sometimes pastors even, but if there isn't love behind that,
right,
it doesn't resonate with people, right?
No.
And I think that's missing with people right now. I think we bring people to the church and we bring people to Jesus through love, not through our words, not through knowledge. And even repentance comes from love first, right?
Yeah.
Because who wants to stop doing what they're doing if they don't see something better on the other side?
Sure.
Right? And love is what's better on the other side.
Yeah. See, I think everybody that's out there listening today, you know, we're kind of talking about the armor of God. We're talking about how to walk in power, the bringing the word into your life. So I guess our encouragement to you out there today is that, you know what, first and foremost, have a relationship with God. Get in the word. Find that sword of the Spirit and begin to speak it over your life. Begin to do the things that God is looking to see you begin to maneuver into in your life. Put on that armor, you know, cover your thoughts, bring that shield of faith, you know, have faith in God, trust him and believe him to block all those fiery darts of the enemy, the thoughts and the intentions of the world that are going to try to come in and rob you of things. And then from that, you know, move into love. Move into that personal, intimate relationship with God. God is love. And then begin to actually express who you are to everybody else in the world around you through God. If you're loving God first, Bruce, and then you're loving people with every part of your being through God, they're going to see that. It's going to be very evident. You know, I think a lot of times people are out there going through the motions of ministry,
right,
and they're trying to do things that are godly, but they're not doing them through God. They're doing them for God.
Right.
You know, if you're not in Christ, then the love of God isn't going to be in you, and it's going to be a struggle for you to operate in all of those things. But I think that, you know, you are doing an amazing job. I want to talk a little bit about what you have going on. I know you have Surfing and Serving is the name of your ministry, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I want to say before I get into that, but it's got to do with being a missionary, okay, missionary, is that some people do get so busy working for God, they forget all about God.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been there.
And I think that my Surfing and Serving ministry is something that's helpful for that, because we have a lot of things we're doing in Costa Rica right now. We have a lot of projects. We're helping build a children's church on a little poor island. I'll feed these kids. We have some rehab centers with alcohol and drugs. We're feeding people that are hungry. And we have community things we're doing, but it's edifying for the church, right? For the people that come to be able to be on a mission team and just get together, pray together, have fun. We surf. We go to the jungle. We do monkey trips, ATV tours, horseback riding, hiking, whatever, right? So it edifies the church, and we all need that with each other, right?
Right.
And but also we're doing useful community things, useful things for God,
helping the local church and reaching people.
I think working for God should be ultimately be kind of fun, right?
It should be an adventure.
God's got, you know, before we were born, He has a reason for us. He has a reason for everybody listening here. You have a purpose, and when you step into that purpose, it should be super enjoyable. It really
absolutely.
Should. He wants to give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
So,
and I love that you're experiencing that in your life right now. You know, but it all started when, like yesterday, you had to step out of, you know, some things.
Right.
And then now you had to step into power. But you see, when we begin to move and operate in the love of God, it changes the game, changes everything. And when we begin to minister to the world with God's heart, and with His love, we begin to see lives changed and transformed before our eyes. You know, you can try to minister to people without love, and not a lot will change. But when you start loving people with the love of God, their worlds get changed, and it's powerful to watch. And I see that happening around you.
You know the difference is, too, you could minister to thousands of people without love and not have a lot of change. And you could just carry love with you and change the room when you walk in.
Absolutely.
Right? And I see that with me, not just me, but the team that I work with, the people I work with, the missionaries in Costa Rica. I have a group of people whose lives are devoted to the Lord.
Yeah. That's
daily we get up. What can we do today, right?
Sure.
So that love and that togetherness and the love we have for each other too. We have to build each other up, right?
Sure.
But we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Right.
I always constantly try to get out and spread the word of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus, not just for the people, yes, for them, but it strengthens me. It strengthens my belief, my faith, that all these promises that we started with are real and that God's given these to me and that I have
so
faith
good.
And a belief in that. My faith grows as I help other people with their faith.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we... you know, I think Jesus did the same thing. You know, He loved people in hopes that it would change the whole world, and it did.
Yep.
So, hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and talk a little bit more about this.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on.
In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. All right, everybody, we're back. Thanks for joining us on the program today. We're so glad that each and every one of you are here. I've got Bruce Levy with Surfing and Serving Ministries here, and we've been just talking about walking in the power of God. And Bruce, you shared out of 2 Peter chapter 1, an amazing scripture. Let's talk about that divine nature for a minute. You know, we are actually able to walk in the divine nature. That means that we have the ability to be seen as Jesus is seen, because we are no longer ourselves. We are hidden in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm hidden with Christ. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, but yet I live. But not I, but Christ lives in me. So I believe when we are partaking of that divine nature, God is actually, you know, he is seeing Jesus when he sees us. And we are able to do the things, Jesus said, the things I've done, you'll do, and even greater things will you do. And that's an incredible thing, to walk in that divine nature. What do you think?
Yeah, I was talking about the affirmations I do in the morning, and one of them is that I'm a citizen of heaven.
Right.
That's one of our promises, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I stay in Costa Rica most of the time now, but I'm not a citizen of Costa Rica.
Right.
That's not my country, right? I got a green card. I'm allowed to work there or whatever. But,
right.
But I'm not a citizen there. So it's the same thing it is with this whole planet Earth. Well, we're Christians. We're transformed into God's kingdom, right?
Yes, yes.
So we're not citizens here. We're just passing through right now. So that's some of the things, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and those tools let us know that. And that's how we live in the divine nature. We can live in it all the time.
Sure. Each and every day, every moment, we can be partakers of God's nature in our lives. And I think that's the goal. I think that's why Jesus came and he gave his life and he died on the cross, so that we could become partakers of that divine nature and actually be the righteousness of God in him, be the holiness that we need to be to have a relationship with God in our lives. You know, we have to be holy to have a relationship with the holy God. How can we be holy in our unholiness? Well, we have to, by faith, walk in the divine nature that has been given to us by Jesus as righteousness through faith, given to us by the blood of Jesus in our life. That's powerful stuff right there. You guys, walk in the divine nature today. Take opportunities to walk in the power of God each and every day in your lives. We're so glad that you joined the program today, and we hope that you're encouraged as you walk out each and every day with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.